Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and thank you all for tuning in. It is the end of the month, so thank you to all the members who will be renewing your membership tomorrow for helping to keep this wonderful radio station and all of its programs on the air. If you are not a member and are interested, go to the website and click on donate, and you should be able to pull up all the information and all the different details about donations and membership. And anyway, thank you for tuning in today. In the studio with me is Reese Sullivan, a local musician and a singer, songwriter, guitar player who's going to share his journey. So thank you, Reese, for joining me today. And just start with basically your background of when you got started in music.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Like we're discussing a second ago, I started playing piano when I was about six, because my mother played, and so that seemed the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I remember going, I remember a first lesson. But actually before that, one of my very first memories from, I didn't realize this till later. I was thinking about it, and, you have that little cluster of memories from very young childhood.
Right.
Well, my grandfather gave me a Hohner Marine Band C harmonica.
Uh-huh.
And I remember losing it, and I remember my grandfather sitting in my room with me and looking for that harmonica, and we found it in the back of a plastic diesel truck.
Oh, wow.
But then there's more to it. It ended up with a dent in it.
Uh-oh.
And so I still had it, and then I got another Marine Band C harmonica when I was about 20, and that one ended up with a dent in it. So I have these two harmonicas, and I don't know which are which, but anyway.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
So at six on the piano.
Yeah.
And then, because now you play guitar, so do you still play the piano?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've got a, recently I got a weighted 88-key keyboard that I've been bringing to some shows.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly to kind of mix it up, and it's a different sound, and it's a different feel, and it just changes the mood of the night,
mm-hmm.
which is the main reason I like it. Plus, I get, I like getting to play it. But
right.
So, yeah, I play. It's not as I normally would say I'm kind of chronically rusty, but moderate,
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sometimes hit or miss on bringing that keyboard out to a show, but I've been trying to.
So when did the guitar enter the picture?
Well, I was 15. And I heard so this was, I guess, the late 80s or 1990. I think it was 89. And I heard a pop song from the day. And so just overnight, I mean, just everything changed literally one day. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changed. And so I started hanging out with two guys that I went to school with that wore black T-shirts and were of a totally different stripe than I'd been. And we were going to get a band together. That was October. And so I was going to play keyboard. I was going to play piano or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they got acoustics for Christmas. And I remember it was January, and we were outside. And so they were able to walk around outside with these acoustics. And I thought, well, we were going to go, down to this creek or whatever. And so I was envious that I couldn't, that they could take these, and I couldn't take anything. So I remember
right.
I went to my mother, and I said, can I get one of these? And I thought, there's no way they'll get it because it's right after Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to go buy it. They're not going to go spend any money. And it seemed to be the one exception where they just said, all right, and went and bought me a $300 Epiphone. So I was 15. I turned 15 in November and got the guitar in January. So
mm-hmm.
that's been 30 years ago, almost
wow.
exactly to the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I fell in love with it, so majorly.
So did you feel like what you had learned on the piano helped you with the guitar? Was there a transition phase?
Yeah.
Did you have formal lessons on piano, or are you just because mom played, you figured it out?
No, it totally helped. I remember as soon as I realized what as soon as you know what the strings are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was taking lessons. In fact, it went the opposite way. I remember being we went to a Protestant church, and I remember admiring these people who supposedly could play by ear,
uh-huh.
which seemed so mysterious. this was me as a young kid because I was just reading music, and no one bothered to say, hey, here's a scale, and this is a 1-4-5, and if you know how this sounds here, and then you hear something over here, you're going to be able to figure out maybe what that is. So no one bothered to tell me any of that. So I got the guitar, and because it's just not as much of a music reading thing for most people, mm-hmm. and it wasn't for me either, even though I could read music, it threw me off into theory, and I fell majorly in love with theory, you know, you're just forced to play by ear anyway, almost to some degree.
Right.
And you realize you can learn it just the same as you learn anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went the opposite way. I went from reading music to theory and playing by ear. So.
Neato.
Yeah.
So when did the songwriting enter the picture?
Well, pretty quick. I started playing when I was 15, and I remember writing a first song at a friend Jeff's house when I was 16. And then I started writing pretty consistent, and then that escalated in my 20s. But, I mean, I kept changing what I was doing. You know, I was when I was a teenager, you know, it was hard rock stuff. I was mainly playing lead. Mm-hmm. Another friend was singing, and I didn't think of myself as that at all. And then, you know, in my 20s, it was kind of an art rock, and I say that in the sense of you know, I was in love with the Beatles and this music that you listen to that could never be created on a stage. You wouldn't think of taking an acoustic and playing, you know, I'm the Walrus or something, you know. It's
yeah.
not that type song. And that was the direction I was at. And I didn't play live really to speak of. And I just, you know, so I was just writing. But and really, I mean, what I do now kind of started in my late 20s
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. I don't know. I started finger picking different, and it just forced me to think of all of it and really what I might could do that would be real different. So I made a very conscious decision, and my lyrics were horrible in my 20s. I ruined so many songs. It still embarrasses me to this day because they were so bad. They're horrible. They were worse than anyone else's I'd ever heard. You know, even to this day, I go back to those. I'm like, those are just horrible. So I felt, well, if I could get that and if I could get it where I could perform this stuff live. But it's kind of weird because when you make those conscious decisions, it seems like everything kind of resets and starts over. And whereas before I felt like a pretty moderate, I felt like a good songwriter, it seemed like suddenly I was struggling in the change, you know. So mm-hmm. I spent about 2 or 3 years what felt like a wrestling match, you know, and then, I don't know, something kind of seemed to give way about 2.5-3 years in, and
mm-hmm.
in a new direction than I'd been going in my 20s. And that still, on some level, is I'm in an extension of that phase.
Right.
You know, now.
Okay, so when you started with guitar, you were doing like mostly chords and strumming. Is that what you're telling me or sharing? And then you kind of went into the direction of finger picking and did that involve playing more melody on the guitar, or you still were kind of sticking to chords, but you were working out different picking patterns with your fingers?
Well, I was doing some finger picking right off the bat. Most people probably listening to this wouldn't know. this is a little embarrassing, but there was a White Snake song, which is an 80s hard rock group called Sailing Ships,
mm-hmm.
and I remember I loved it. And so this teacher of mine worked out the finger-picking part. So I was doing finger-picking stuff right off, but it was not folky, and I was not able to sustain, you know, I had to have it down. It was very specific stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was a very different thing than I would do now, finger-picking, which I do a lot of now. So I was doing a little of everything in my teens. I mean, I was also playing a lot of lead. That was what I was wanting to do, you know, was
mm-hmm.
this hard rock lead stuff, you know, kind of. But strumming, some finger picking, some lead. And I spent several years, you know, trying to get good at that stuff, you know. But your first few years, you know, you no matter how you're sustained because it's so much fun and you're so excited by the smallest little thing you learn to do,
yeah,
and which is fantastic. But you look back when you're 10 years in, you say, you know, you just make quantum jumps at some point where that looks, you know, way behind you, you know. So, yeah.
Well, you did bring a CD in and you did bring your guitar in. So you want to play a song and share a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And I also see you have a harmonica, so maybe you can do that as well. But, so you have track two queued up, so kind of give a little background or intro on that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say. It's not, I mean, I like the way this turned out. I had read this story on this Middle Eastern, so, I mean, it's just making some references to some different writers. There was a Middle Eastern poet from maybe 1,000 years ago who, I can't remember the exact story, but, you know, he was a very conceited, you know, he was pretty larger than life, and so in the poetry he's I guess we could say bragging or something, but and the story is that he was in a literal physical run in with these guys, and then he takes off fleeing for his life, and the guy that's with him is saying, well, in your poetry you're saying that you would be willing to die for things and that sort of thing. So the story is he stopped and he fought and he was killed.
Wow. Okay.
So that's all tied into what he's writing. And I guess the only thing, and so, you know, but I make mention of Proust in the song, and but really my favorite writers generally have these incredible life stories, whether it's Petronius or Villon. I'm not a French person, though I'm down here in southern Louisiana.
Right?
But he's a French poet who was sentenced to the gallows and wrote this incredible work, and then he was released. So now we've got this, but you know, both but same kind of with Petronius. He writes what we have to take as being the literal first novel. It's not an epic. It's not a tragedy. It's not comedy.
Okay.
It's playing on an epic, and so this is a couple thousand years ago, and he's under Nero, and he's sentenced to death, and he's got an incredible story. But on top of that, the novel is unbelievable. You know, so it's this coupled together with these incredible lives or these. So, I mean, this is the song is only slightly making reference to any of that, but barely, I suppose. So, yeah, so it's called Lamentations.
Okay, cool. Let's have a listen.
There were Lebanese riders with Cairo. And poems for well-written verses laid dead. And I wish that I stood in their stead. Or laid like Proust, all sick and in bed. Fictions I dreamed of and stories I told, like these bargain bin pulp romance novels unsold. See how my subplots will all unfold, then convert in a functioning narrative whole. Employ me till I'm of no use, then lead me to my death, oh muse. In whatever choose, for what is
beautiful. So when you, when you started the song, you you had the chords, you had the words, and then like, and then I heard a keyboard. Is that you playing that in the background? Like, so you recorded in layers?
Yeah. Well, there've been a couple different ways I've recorded things, but starting with the writing, normally 9 out of 10, really probably more than that, probably 24 out of 25 songs, I'm starting with a fully what I take to be correct musical structure, mm-hmm. and melody and chord changes, and then I write lyrics. Because I'm trying to get that, you know, I mean, I'm trying to get the rhythm
right
of the melody right, and then work in whatever lyrics, you know, work in lyrics secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want them to seem secondary, but but yeah, that's kind of the process. As far as the recording, which there are some more things that say on that CD. I mean, we could play one of these, but that, yes, is totally layered, and yeah, that's me playing the piano, but. But I have some other things, and the other way I've been trying to record, which I generally like better, is to start the bass level with something live.
Mm-hmm.
So that might only be me and one other person, and then layer on top of that, because it'll maintain that live feeling at the base of it, which gives a life to the recording that
right.
just tracking one thing at a time does not maintain
right.
quite as well.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and Reese Sullivan is in the studio today discussing his journey as a musician and a guitar player and a songwriter and all that kind of stuff. Then I also heard, sound like, I know it wasn't a horn. Was that effects from the piano, or did you have somebody playing?
I've got an oboe in there.
Okay. I knew it was some sort of wind instrument.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
didn't know if it was an effect from the keyboard or if it was an actual physical instrument.
Yeah, that's an actual physical. I said oboe. I think it's actually a bassoon. But, yeah, so sorry for that.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, most things are physical instruments. Sometimes I do some little weird things, but I'm very leery of fully digital items.
I understand.
So if I use something digital, I have a little handheld mini tape recorder that I might would record that with,
mm-hmm.
to give it the analog feel, and then play back that little tape into a microphone so that it sounds less digital. And it, and you know, but I mean, that's rare that I do that anyway.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
And then with the singing, did you have any coaching with singing, or was that something else that just kind of came as you practice piano and practice guitar and experimented?
That's hard to, I mean, I didn't consider myself a singer my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even think, I didn't feel any internal pressure, like, you know, inside saying, oh, you need to be out singing. I thought of myself as a songwriter all the way up through the phase of trying to change what I was doing. And I just thought, well, if I could get the lyrics well enough and the guitar good enough, even if the vocals are bad, you know, then surely there would be something of value there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, there were a couple. I mean, no. So, I mean, I tried to read things. And, of course, with the Internet, I mean, that as ridiculous as that may sound, I mean, you can learn things, you know, about breathing and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that no one had volunteered, you know, no one had told me before. So I had a couple moments where things seemed to make a turn for the better, you know, where my breathing just by accident got better, and then I kind of figured out what I was doing a little bit better, and then it's definitely come a good stretch. But really that kind of changed 7 years ago, January. I mean, I just moved here to Lafayette,
mm-hmm.
and I still just thought of myself as a songwriter. I mean, I didn't go play out. I didn't do any of that. I didn't really think to. I mean, I didn't.
Right.
But some part of me said, well, I guess I should. And so I said, well, I'll just go play some unknown open mic somewhere once a week,
mm-hmm.
where no one sees me. And
just practice.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just thought it was a good idea on a life level more than almost musical, but
mm-hmm.
just because it was something I was afraid of. I mean, I was terrified of. And so I started doing that, and you know, something kind of totally took off on its own. And the vocals very quickly seemed to get a lot better. But I don't know why, because I've been singing before then at mm-hmm. home. You know, I worked on these things and I sang out loud. But so, yeah.
Well, as we begin to wrap up, share with the listeners social media, if you have any links to the music, or an email if they are listening and kind of intrigued about hearing other things and maybe want to order a CD or contact you for yeah. the questions that we didn't have a chance to address.
Yeah, sure.
During our discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I have a website. My name is Reese. Like I was telling you earlier, down here there are actually quite a few Reese's. I'm from Arkansas, and there were not many Reese's, I spell it different than most people down here. So my mm-hmm. name's Reese, R-E-E-C-E. Mm-hmm. So with a C and with an E on the end, whereas most of the Reese's I've met down here, which are more than one, have been R-E-E-S. So my website is reesesullivan.com, and then, of course, I'm also on Spotify. If someone wanted to go listen to something, I would normally send them to Spotify and have a playlist on there
mm-hmm.
under my music page. It should be at the top, but if it's not at the top, it's at the bottom. Anyway, it's on my Spotify page.
Okay.
But I'm also on Bandcamp, so that's just reesesullivan.bandcamp.com, which has higher quality recordings, wave files that I like better. And you can buy everything on there. And then, again, there's the website, and there's Spotify, and there's Bandcamp. And my email, if someone did want to get in contact with me, is reese_sullivan@yahoo.
Okay.
And yeah, feel free. I mean, I'd love to.
And then is there somewhere that you post upcoming shows that, you know, somebody, if they want, that lives here or is traveling through and wants to catch you in a live performance, they would know when those dates are?
Yeah. So they're on the website, but then also on both Facebook and Instagram, I normally keep that, you know, an event. So that's Reese Sullivan Music, you know, so it's, so I guess it's facebook.com/Reese Sullivan Music. And mm-hmm. then the same with Instagram, it's Reese Sullivan Music. And, so all of those places, you know, including the website, have updated shows. And, I think, you know, we were talking a second ago, but with all the cancellations
right.
between, I was going to play the Dave Egan celebration thing this tomorrow
mm-hmm.
And that got canceled, and then the Baton Rouge Blues Festival is going to play in a couple 3 weeks, and that got, I guess, tentatively canceled. But as of right now, I'm supposed to be playing the Blue Moon May 19th.
Okay,
but that's listed. So, and then I've got a bunch of out of town shows. So
right. Okay, so in wrapping up, is there any words of inspiration you want to leave with our listeners about getting involved in a music instrument or expression or journey?
You know, it's, I mean, only, I mean, not that I'm the one to do it, but everything of any value, you know, I think if you just, the main thing is you don't quit.
Exactly.
You push through and you do it, and you treat it like a job where I don't wait to see if I'm in the mood or if I think I feel good to play. That's to me, I've always thought the times where I'm most discouraged is the time I've got to sit down and work and work on it in a structured manner. Like anyone go, you know, if you're expected at work, we don't just call in haphazardly because we're not in the mood or we
right.
don't feel like it. And I think if a person does that for a year or two, you look back and you're amazed at how far you've gone, even though it feels very slow going
mm-hmm.
day by day.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, thank you, Reese, for joining me today in the studio and sharing your song and your musical journey and your background and your words of inspiration. You've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at KRVS.org. Thank you for tuning in, and have a wonderful afternoon.
We all make mistakes in life. Si tu avais manqué la dernière Franco Mix, c'est OK. Tu peux m'écouter this Thursday at 9 p.m. seulement sur KRVS 88.7 avec Drake Benoit LeBlanc. Et c'est formidable.
Hello, this is Lee, your man behind the mic. Many styles of big band and jazz music, plus popular vocals, coming up this Friday night for big band, swings, and other things. From Louis Armstrong to Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, Artie Shaw, Glenn Miller, coming up this Friday night, 7 until 9, on KRVS 88.7 and online at krvs.org.
Regional Public Radio for Acadiana. KRVS-FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.